All right. Good morning, Foothills. How we doing? Listen, I am new enough to Colorado that I still enjoy the snow. So anybody here do donuts this morning? Not too many. Anyone do donuts unintentionally this morning? Okay. I did enjoy one donut on the way, not eating one. I did one in the parking lot when I got in here, although I'm realizing now that I probably shouldn't admit that because I was driving my father-in-law's car and he's in the back. So sorry, not sorry, right? So I am imperfect, which is part of the reason that I do love the vision statement here. We are We believe that everybody is welcome because no one is perfect and God has big plans for your life. So the first part of that is absolutely perfect because we are a church and so we are supposed to be welcoming people here. We want people to come in and hear the glorious message of Christ. And that second part, I'd be out otherwise because I am really good at that, the whole not perfect thing. I have nailed that part. And you know, the other part of it though, I love, God has big plans for your life. And I like to know that I am a planner. I like to know in advance what things are going on. So I see that and I say, awesome, God, I'm excited about that. Go ahead, tell me the plans. What are they? I would like to know now, right? I need to know. Is anyone with me? I heard somebody quoting before I finished it. We got a few control freaks out there, right? A few of you people. But that kind of gets at something that I think Christians, all of us, we like to ask or think about a lot. It's a question that we're asking. It's, what is God's plan for me? What is God's will for my life? And for me, sometimes as I'm asking that question, what I'm really saying is, God, I want you to show me the future that you have for me. I want you to show me the plans that you've got for me so that I don't really need as much faith. That I can just kind of sit back and say, okay, this is what's coming up. I can wait on that and I'll be good. I don't want to have to trust God to reveal things as I need them. I don't want to have to rest in his goodness as much. And so I just want to know these things all ahead of time. I've got to learn to take what he gives me when he gives it to me and trust that he is going to reveal those plans, those things, those steps that he has for me when I actually need it. And that is a tough one for me. And yet, still, the quest to find out his will, to figure out what his plan is for you step by step, that's a good one. We want to know what God has to say to us. We want to hear God speak. I hope we do. And it really gets at a question that the Christians ask all the time is, how do I hear God? What does he sound like? Does he just so happen to sound for any of you like your own voice in your head? Right? How does he actually, does God's voice sound like mine? Because that's sometimes how it sounds in my head, right? But I want to know these things. I think a lot of us do. How can I be sure that I'm hearing from God? There have been these faithful people, faithful Christians throughout the history of the world, throughout the millennia, that have been so sure, absolutely sure that they've heard from God, that they were willing to risk absolutely everything. They've loved their enemies, and that one's harder for me than a lot of other things, honestly. They've responded with joy instead of anger in the midst of trials and difficulties. They've given up some very precious things. We've seen that throughout Scripture and throughout history. They've given up even their lives because they heard God guiding them and calling them. They heard God speak. How do we get that kind of confidence and clarity today? That's what we're looking at rolling into the new year this week and next week. See, what we want to happen here as a church, as a church culture, as us all together, we want to live out what we see with Jesus in John 10:27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So let's pray to that end. Father, thank you so much today that we get to come together to look into your word, to hear you speak. God, I know that many of us are coming in today, maybe we've felt this kind of dry season where we're not hearing you as much, or we wonder, what is your voice? What is next? Why am I going through this season? God, I pray that you would give us confidence today, that you desire for us to hear you speak and to follow you, that you are speaking to us. So God, may we hear you in Christ's name. Amen. As we look through the pages of the Bible, we see these various ways that people have heard God speak, and groups of people have heard God speak throughout the years and throughout the millennia. Primarily, if we look in the Old Testament, he tended to speak through prophets. You might get a letter from a prophet. You might, if you're struggling with a decision, you might go visit a prophet, or it might be that the prophet comes and knocks on your door because he is bringing a message from God. Then there were other kind of special occasions where he spoke more directly and audibly to people, and sometimes in some very strange ways. He would send sometimes angels, sometimes it was something he would speak in a dream. Sometimes there were some very strange ways that he spoke. Like there was one time that he wrote on someone's bedroom wall, just a big finger writing on a wall. By the way, that can be a really fun prank to play on somebody. If you get some Rain-X anti-fog and just go right on your bathroom mirror, when they get it all to steam up in there, that message will appear and you can get them to do all kinds of things or just really freak them out. The unfortunate part is that's not going to work for anybody in this room right now unless they're not paying attention, and then they deserve it. So go right ahead. Just dive right into those kind of things, right? So we see all these different ways that God is speaking, and a lot of times I've wished that, you know, that God might speak to me in the same ways that he did to in those more extraordinary ways in the Old Testament. And I'd say, okay, if he just sent me an angel, I would know that I was definitely hearing his voice, and that would make it so much easier. So how do we get that kind of confidence? How do we roll into this new year with that same kind of thing? Because, you know, God still wants us to have confidence that he's speaking to us. And yet those methods that sometimes I seek, and I'm guessing some of you do as well, from that we see that are more special, more rare, those things, people didn't always listen to those either. So how do we hear God's voice in such a way that he's going to speak and we're going to listen, to know that he's speaking to us? Because that's what he wants for us. The thing is, he's kind of updated his methods at different times. You look at Hebrews chapter 1, the first couple of verses in there. He says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. What we just celebrated on Wednesday, on Christmas, it changed how we hear from God, how people heard from God then, how we hear from him now. Angels and prophets and dreams and the strange stuff, like you'll find talking donkeys and a burning bush that God is speaking through in the Old Testament, those kinds of things, you know, the finger writing on the bedroom wall, all of that kind of stuff, there was something better. They weren't needed. God himself was here in the flesh. He was walking among people. He was talking with people. And so people could just walk up to God himself, to Jesus, and ask him anything. And they'd get an answer and it would be clear and it would be direct and it would be from God himself. Sometimes they liked it, sometimes they didn't. But they would hear from God. You know, even though Jesus isn't here physically walking and talking with us today, he's still speaking. We've got something even better, though, that he has sent to us. Something that Jesus himself said, you know what? You want to hear from me? I've got something a little bit better for you. Because he wants us to hear from him. Jesus told his disciples in John 16, 7 through 13, that it would be advantageous for him to leave so that we could receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would indwell us. The thing is, if you look in the Old Testament, they would long for that. They would say, the Holy Spirit indwelling people, that was rare in the Old Testament. And yet we, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us now. And they would trade every vision, every dream they ever had to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And along with the Holy Spirit, something the Holy Spirit uses in our lives as a foundation is that there's this other incredible gift that God has given us to be able to hear from him. And that is that Scripture is the foundation for hearing God. And the Holy Spirit works through Scripture. And I get that that may not be the most profound revelation that you've ever heard, right? The Scripture, okay, Scripture is God speaking. I think a lot of us know that. Maybe you're hoping for some kind of new formula that I'm going to stand up here this week and say, here's how you can know for sure that you're hearing God, that you're hearing his voice. And it was going to be this radical thing. And I've had those kind of thoughts at different times myself too. And it kind of takes me back to General Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5. It makes me think of him, and if you all are familiar with him. He was stricken with leprosy and wanted to be cured. And so he goes to Elisha and says, I want to be cured. And Elisha says, go bathe in the river, which is a really simple thing to do, right? I mean, go take a bath and you'll be fine. Like, sounds great. But Naaman didn't want to do it. It was too simple. He wanted something more complex. He wanted a ritual. And for me, sometimes I look for those kinds of things that a lot of things I go looking for kind of the finger on the wall or the talking donkey when the answer is clearly right in front of me. I just open up God's word and there it is. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul is writing, and he's talking about Scripture. Here's what he has to say. All Scripture is breathed out. It's spoken by God. It is profitable. It's good for you, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the men of God may be complete, perfected, equipped for every good work. See, God is God. He could have taken any Old Testament method, anything that we saw in the New Testament. He could have taken any of those things and said, this is how you're all going to hear from me now. This is the way that I'm going to speak. He could have made up something entirely new as far as how he wanted to speak to people. And yet what he chose was Scripture to pin all of that. It was something better. God is good. He knows us and he loves us. And so we know that what he has chosen is the best thing for us. What he chose was to have the words and the stories of the angels and the prophets and the apostles and Jesus himself written down and preserved for us to hear him. This incredibly, remarkably well-kept book. And we have it. It's the word of God to us. Look at what we get from the Bible. We get teaching. So it shows us the history of all creation, of God's redemptive plan. It shows us truth. What is reality? It shows us the way that we're supposed to live. It shows us the way that God has designed us and so much more. It's rebuking. That's part of the role of the Holy Spirit. And yet he works through Scripture. He points out our sin and he convicts us. And sometimes we don't like that, but it's good for us. But he also doesn't leave us in that sin and say, hey, guess what? You're bad. Scripture goes on to the next step of correcting. And it says, this is the right path as opposed to the sinful way. It's kind of like leveling a picture. We've been doing a lot of that, getting our house set up here. You know, just taking and making sure it's just right. Getting those things right. That's what Scripture does in our lives. It's good for training. It means it's practical. It's applicable. It's still speaking. It's a couple thousand years old at the newest, and it's still speaking to us. It's applicable. It conforms us to Christ's image. It helps to build us in righteousness and goodness. There's so many beautiful things about it. And as we're more immersed in the Bible, as we get more immersed into Scripture, myself, I start to see in my life, as I look more into it, I start to see examples of what I'm reading, what I'm studying in Scripture happening in the world around me. It changes the eyes that I have for the world around me. So you start reading something and you start to see it lived out around you. Every time I write a sermon, every time I work with a team to write the G2Qs, just reading the Bible, I see those examples around me. I was reading in kind of my devotional time this Christmas season, I was reading through in kind of an Advent devotional. And one of the things that really stood out to me there was that, man, I have got to get better at waiting on God's timing patiently. And he's working on me with that. Normally, I'm one to just kind of bulldog stuff on through and force things in my own timing because I want things done in my way, in my time. I'm just not a really patient person. But I am learning to rest and to be patient and wait. I'm not learning very well, but it's coming along a little bit. But ask yourself now, how is God speaking to you through Scripture these days? Or is he? Now, a lot of times that tends to take a little bit more than just a quick read of Scripture. It takes listening at a different level because Scripture is the foundation for hearing God through meditation. See, sometimes the Bible speaks clearly and it speaks quickly and it just kind of jumps off the pages just as you're reading it. You read a passage and God's message just kind of jumps out and grabs you and says, clearly, here is what you're supposed to do. But I found for myself that it tends to take some deeper interaction to really understand what God is saying, for it to pierce down below a little bit. It takes more interaction and questioning and searching. It kind of takes a conversation. The writer of Hebrews had this very rich understanding of how Scripture speaks through meditation. In chapter 4, verse 12 writes, "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." I mean, look in that passage. Look at the words that the Holy Spirit gave this author to write. The Holy Spirit is writing all of this and chooses his words so perfectly, precisely, and intentionally. There have been plenty of times in my life that I've just read the Bible quickly, or maybe I was distracted as I was going through a passage and it's like nothing really sticks. But it was meant to be alive and active. It's supposed to keep on doing its work even after you've read it. It's supposed to dig in. And a lot of times that will tend to take more than just a quick read. It takes thought and pondering and wrestling. That's meditation. And then it starts to get really deep down into the core of who you are and how you're living. And it shows you where you're operating by the flesh instead of by the Spirit, where you're operating in your own power instead of the Holy Spirit's power, where you need that correction. And then you hear from God. And sometimes it's an answer to a question that you've been asking, that you've been seeking God to hear an answer, to hear a response, and He just reveals it after a time. Sometimes God is revealing something that you never even thought to ask. You weren't asking the question, but man, you should have been. You realize that afterward. And He just reveals something in your life. He's speaking through meditation. Judith and I, we were happy for a good while, and we still are happy, but very happy without children and just kind of enjoying that married without kids kind of life. We were able to finish our education to save up some money and enjoy kind of that dual income, no kids kind of life. Anyone remember that? Those were good times too. They're good times now as well, just different. We had a lot of fun. We got to serve in a lot of different ways, and we still get to do these things. It's all just different. Of course, that time of our life only lasted for so long. And I still remember the first time that Judith told me that she was pregnant. And it's a really funny story. We have some great video of that, but it's not one I'm going to share up here. But you can come and ask me afterward. I'll be happy to tell you about it. Some funny things happened. But it was this overwhelming joy and excitement and just this thrill of expecting this new little one to come into our lives. But then we lost that child. And we lost another one. A little while later, after we had Sean, we lost another one yet again. So as we would read the Bible at those times, at least for me, there were those times reading scripture that certain stories would start to stand out because they would relate to me and kind of what our desire was as a family. So I can read about Abraham and Sarah, and they had a baby in their old age. And well, Elizabeth and Zechariah, they had the same thing, a baby in their old age. And then you had Samuel's mom who is going to the temple to pray and praying so deeply that the priest starts to think that she's actually drunk, but she's just so intently praying and she gets Samuel. And so those things started sticking out to us, and that's kind of what I'm thinking about. But as we meditated on scripture, some other stories started to stick out as well. There are stories like that of Moses, who was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. There's Esther, who was raised by her uncle. And then there's this whole concept that we see in scripture that we are adopted children of the King and Creator and of the universe as Christians, that we get to be a part of His family. And that is so captivating to me. I see Jesus' heart for the widow and the outcast and the poor and the orphan. And that started to become even more prevalent in my mind. And we saw friends as we kind of were meditating, we would see what was going on around us. We saw friends who were getting into foster care and into adoption. And we got to know some people at a place called the Big Oak Boys Ranch out in Alabama and seeing the ways that they were caring for kids who needed homes. And so as we pondered our lives while meditating on scripture, our hearts moved. And so through that process, we kind of made this decision to get into foster care. And then we kind of got one more nudge from this little girl. We were at a Christian music festival downtown in Chattanooga. And this little girl comes up to us. She's in a family at our church. She's a foster child. And this was on a Tuesday. That Monday, she had heard from the judge that rights were terminated. She wasn't going to get to see her mom anymore, and her birth mom. And so she tells me this. She says, well, yesterday the judge told us we can't see our mom anymore. And she was, I mean, it was chipper as a child can be in the midst of that kind of news. But she said, and hopeful, she says, but the judge says that maybe one day we'll get adopted. And then she kind of looks up at me with just cute blonde hair. She's like 6 years old and big blue eyes and glasses. She was adorable. And she just says, and maybe you could adopt us. This is no kidding. I signed up for foster care classes the next day. And we got through those classes. Those kids, by the way, were adopted by their foster family. They're doing well, and it was all great. But that was kind of that extra nudge that it took. And so now we've got these two precious little monsters, or children, whatever we should call them. And we wouldn't change that. We're happy with the way that this has all worked out. The Holy Spirit took us on a journey through meditating on Scripture, through some outside circumstances related to that, and it changed us. It changed our hearts. And by the way, I would add that and just ask that you not start praying for us to have children in our older age. We're good where we're at. We're fine with that. That's what happens when we meditate on Scripture. The Holy Spirit applies the words of Scripture to your life. So what's an area of your life where you need to open your heart to hear God more deeply? I think a lot of us want the Bible to penetrate us deeply to the core, but we don't always experience that consistently. And I think that's partly because conversations go two ways. And so Scripture is the foundation for hearing God through meditation and through prayer. Matthew 26:39, look what we see here about Jesus. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus had read Scripture. Jesus is the Word. He spent time alone meditating on Scripture regularly. And of course, that's all playing into this intense prayer that we see from him here. You can almost sense him like wrestling in prayer. He's about to face the most excruciatingly painful time of his life, physically, spiritually, emotionally. He knew what was coming, that the Father was going to turn his back on him, and that he would, for the very first and only time, experience the pain of sin. He's not holding a Bible in front of him. He hasn't rolled out a scroll right there. He's having a hard conversation with his Father, with God, through prayer. And it leads him right back to what was foretold in Scripture since Genesis chapter 3, that he was going to suffer and he was going to die. And he hears the Father in prayer and he submits. I talked about Judith and I, we had already heard God leading us to foster care from Scripture, from our experience, and from some very, you know, kind of general prayer, not praying for necessarily a specific child, but praying for the circumstances in general. And so in a lot of ways, we were prepared, right? So when we got the call about this baby named Legion, that is correct, you heard that right. He was in the NICU. He needed placement. He was 26 days old. We needed some very specific prayer about what to do in that situation. And just so you know, I just gave you the entire amount of detail that we received to be able to make that decision. It was not like this, you know, vast, "Hey, let me tell you everything about this child." Within the Tennessee foster care system, you've got to make these decisions pretty quickly. And so we didn't have time to, you know, just dive into another Bible study about the whole thing. I called Judith. I was actually, those kids I talked about earlier, I was picking them up for them to spend a weekend with us. And I called her on my way home, hands-free, so it's legal and safe and all that kind of stuff. And we prayed. I'm sitting in the Honda Odyssey and we're praying, right? And we just sensed this peace from God. And we said, yes. 4 hours later, we had a son. A lot of you chumps get 9 months to prepare for this kind of stuff. 4 hours, right? Later, we were praying for a cuddly girl, and it took a long time to get Sean adopted, but it was 15 days after we adopted him, we had this girl in our home. And a couple months ago, or just last month, we got to adopt her as well. Now, with Sean's adoption process, there was a lot of difficulty in it, and it was centering around the fact he was born in Georgia, care flighted to Tennessee, and that's where he came into custody. And so there were the kind of these state battles that we just found ridiculous. And so I was tempted, as I often am in different situations, to take things into my own hands and to force things, to step away from the contract or the covenant that we had with the state about what we would do and wouldn't do, and take it into my own hands to make sure this child would be in the only home that he's ever known, instead of taken to a different state. I was tempted to do that. And I could even say that in prayer, I could almost let myself feel like that maybe that's where God was leading me, because I felt that so intensely that I needed to protect this child. And yet I could also hear the Lord telling me to trust him. You want to know how I knew that the Lord was telling me to trust him and wait on his timing? Scripture. That helps. And so we did. And as I think you guys have figured out, we have this son now, and he worked it all out beautifully. We knew what the Bible told us, and we wanted to honor him. So think about Christ, What if in the garden, Jesus came away saying that he felt God telling him to take another path or an easier path? That would nullify the prophecy of how he would save us that was all the way back in Isaiah 53 and elsewhere. He'd be disobeying. We would all be doomed. You see, God is never going to tell you something in prayer that contradicts what he says in his word. His word is truth. But a rich prayer life stems from being immersed in scripture. And so one of the things that we've done here to try to help with that is in our G2Qs, our growth group questions, we've added a section at the end there that is a biblically guided prayer, praying through those things that you have learned from scripture that day. And then we give you time just to come and to pray together as a group. And one of the great things that happens is as you open up your heart and the things you're praying about and the things that you see God leading you to, you've got this group, this community of people who's able to sit and say, no, what you're saying here doesn't actually align with scripture. So if you get off base a little bit, you get caught. And that's a good thing because any one of us can easily be tempted and then start to kind of go askew a little bit when we're living on an island. And so we need that community to help draw us in. Pastor Sean's going to share more about that next week, about how community plays in. But I do want to let you know and encourage you to get involved in a G2 and a growth group. We're trying to sign folks up for those outside this week out in the lobby. So please make sure you hop in there as well. But ask yourself as well, how can you be more intentional about making sure that your life, your prayer life, is aligning with scripture? That you're following God, that he's speaking to you through scripture these days. Part of the issue with hearing God through prayer is that we just don't do it. We get all kinds of reasons that get things in the way. Sometimes for me, it's pride, that I think that, you know, I've got this life thing under control, that I'm managing things well, and so I don't necessarily think to go to God in prayer, especially in some of the good times. Most common struggle I think that a lot of us have with meditation and with prayer is distraction. So let's tackle that barrier to hearing Christ. You see, scripture is the foundation for hearing God through meditation, prayer, and solitude. Chuck Swindoll, he writes this. He says, I cannot be the man I should be without times of solitude. We're talking about Chuck Swindoll, who's this pastor who's built these large churches and written so many books and done so much incredible ministry. He was chancellor of Dallas Theological Seminary, president there for a while too. When I think chancellor, I start thinking Chancellor Palpatine. So that is what comes in my mind when I think about Chuck Swindoll. That's just this interesting little connection I make. But he's got to have some time of solitude. If you want to hear God, you've got to listen. Judith has learned that when communicating with me, it really helps for her to say, Ben, do I have your attention? Sometimes it does take clapping, right? And so you'll put down the phone or, you know, if I'm turning a wrench on a car, working on something in the house, sometimes I'll just say, yeah, give me 1 second. I'll finish turning the bolt. I'm like, okay, yes, I can focus because I can only focus on one thing at a time, right? You got to make sure that you've got attention, that you've got that time to hear. But there are so many distractions and we just keep adding more. We've got like work stress and family responsibility and sports and music and Netflix. And you got Amazon Prime, you got Hulu, you got Disney Plus. Ooh, see, we just added that big one right there, right? How much time have we spent on Disney Plus in the past week? And you got politics and friends and finances, expectations from hordes of people. You got social media, all kinds of other chaos that's going on. And so no wonder it's hard to hear God. And yet, even if you look back to what we would call simpler times, you go back to Bible times where we think things seemed simpler, that maybe there were less distractions, people still needed solitude. All people. So we start thinking, maybe if I were just a little bit more put together, maybe if I was a little bit less ADD, I'm more on the HD side than the ADD, I think, but maybe then I wouldn't need intentional solitude, right? Let's go back to Luke 5:16. But he, Jesus, would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, needed solitude. Luke writes that after describing just the busyness of Jesus' ministry and all of the people clamoring for his attention as kind of his fame is rising. They're clamoring to get time with him and he's doing this incredible gospel work and yet he doesn't neglect solitude. How easy would it be to say, I'm doing this great ministry, I can't stop this just to go spend some time with the Lord? Because I've got good things happening over here, and yet Jesus models something else, that we need that time. Solitude is intentionally setting aside distractions to focus on hearing God speak. Let me say that again. Solitude is intentionally setting aside distractions to focus on hearing God speak. For me, the best time to spend with the Lord is kind of when I get into the office the first thing. I'll try to come in a little bit earlier because it's just harder to get real solitude when you've got pre-K kids at home, right? That's just how it goes. My dad had an incredible method for keeping us away from him. It's, I've been told, inappropriate to share from the stage, but I'd be happy to share it with you later as well. But sometimes we do need more than, you know, just those daily times. Those are wonderful, but sometimes we need something more than just that daily bit of time with the Lord. We need a more extended time. Jesus models that for us too. We see that before he started his official ministry, he spent 40 days fasting and just spending time alone in the desert, in the wilderness, fasting and praying. Last year, I was in a very, very difficult place. And so I actually came out here, our in-laws live here, so we could come and stay with them. And I got some counseling and just some good time alone. They helped to take care of the kids. And so there was one day I hopped on Judith's dad's motorcycle, which I'm usually, we've agreed that I won't ride while we have the young kids. So I got this special privilege and I just went riding around for a little bit and rode out to Deer Creek Canyon, rode around the road there for a little bit. And then I stopped at a park and I hiked around and looked for a good place to put up my Eno. I was asked in the first service what that is. It's just a hammock you keep in a little bag and you can pop up anywhere, right? So I got to put that thing up. And so I'm laying in the Eno and I'm just kind of overlooking Denver on one side and the mountains on another, which I get for all of you is like, okay, yeah, my house does that. It was fresh to me, okay? It wasn't the norm for me. But it was a beautiful time and I was just reading and meditating and praying and just waiting to hear God. And through some of that time away in the Word and in counseling, I was able to hear God in a way that I just could not have happened back at home. There were too many distractions there. And so I was able to come up with kind of a re-entry plan to head back and handle some of those difficult things in life. And I didn't know it then, but that sent me on a path that ended up just a few miles away from that spot where I hooked up the Eno. And in case you're not fully paying attention, that is here, right? What kind of difference might a little bit of solitude with Jesus make in your life? What if you decided to be more intentional about hearing God in 2020? Something that I've really enjoyed quite a few times is just doing a one-year read through the Bible. So you read through the Bible just all in one year. YouVersion is a great app. There are others out there. It has loads of reading plans to fit various things you may be going through in your life, dealing with, you know, anxiety and love and healing and anger, all those kind of things. They also have some out there that are one-year Bible reading plans, and there's an audio version of it. And so if you need to spend that time when just listening on your way to and from work or somewhere else as you're running, whatever it may work for you, those are all available. One of the things I love to do within there is a chronological read through the Bible in a year because it helps me to capture the historical flow of Scripture. It's set up for not the order of the books in the Bible, but the order that events took place. And it really, for me, really helps to bring things to life. What we really want to see here, partly through the series and just for us as a church, is the importance of listening for God to speak without judging ourselves on the methods or on the amount of time or any of those kind of things. We're not judging others for the ways that they spend time with the Lord. I want us to see how God desires to bless and transform us and have a relationship with us through his word, through meditating on that, and through Scripture. I want us all to know that God wants us, God wants you to thoroughly and completely trust that he is speaking to you today. Do you hear him? Listen, we would love to be able to get a chance to talk with you about that as you seek to hear and follow the shepherd's voice. So as we close, and in just a moment, if the prayer teams want to begin to come up as we sing in just a moment, over here to my right, we're going to have our elders are available for some of those kind of deeper prayer needs, even able to come and anoint with oil if that's something you need. And right here in the front, we'll have our prayer team here to pray for any of those needs, whether it's hearing God speak or whatever may be going on in your life, or perhaps you are just ready to trust Christ for salvation. They're here and would like nothing more than to pray with you and pray over you and chat with you. We're here for you. We'd also love to see everyone here in a growth group, in a G2, a community seeking to hear God's voice together. And so out in the lobby, we'll have registration help for that today. People to help you find a great group to fit. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, I know that you speak to us, that you're speaking to us through your word this morning. You're speaking to us through your word, through the times that we get to meditate on that, through our prayer times, all of the time. God, you're available to us right now to come to you, to come and pray with others or to pray on our own, just sitting in these chairs to talk to you, but then also to hear you speak. And so, God, that's what we're asking in our lives. God, please speak to us. God, we know that your word has your words to us and that they are there and available for us anytime. So, God, I pray that as Jesus said in John chapter 10, that we would know your voice, that we would hear your voice, and that we would follow you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.